Welcome back to the Girl Just Start podcast. I'm your host, Cece Nika. Thank you so much for tuning in. It has been quite some time since the last time I dropped a podcast. Oh man, I was pregnant and it took everything out of me. There was such a gap in time. I was so unmotivated during my pregnancy. I'm gonna keep it 100. Like, that was why I wasn't podcasting. I was trying so hard. I was determined. I wanted to be productive, but I just felt so unproductive. And it was kind of playing tricks on me for some time until I finally just kind of gave myself some grace and said, like, well, you're producing a human, so you need to chill. And if, you know, during my pregnancy wasn't the time I felt, you know, the most motivated, then so be it. And I gave myself the grace to take a break. But I'm back at it because I delivered my baby girl. She's happy and healthy. So am I. So is my family. And now I'm here to talk about it. I'm also here to talk about the birth of my son, my first birth, which I never ever dropped a podcast about. And there was actually a specific reason for that. It was, I think over time I identified what that reason was, because I did record a podcast and it was like an hour long. And I realized this isn't a podcast. This was more of like a diary. It was way too raw when I recorded it. I think I recorded about 10 to 11 days after I had gave birth. I was not in the best place in my life, mentally and emotionally, actually physically as well, because that was a really rough healing process, recovering from a C-section. And I never released it because it made me cry when I would play it back. So I was just like, yeah, it's too much. I never put it out there. But over time, I realized, I think the real reason why I didn't want to put it out there was because there was some shame like associated to the way I felt about my birth. I think I felt like a bit guilty for not liking my experience. I felt kind of a bit ashamed of that, because everyone tells you, you know, giving birth is a blessing, having a child is a blessing, and you should be so blessed and so happy your kid is healthy. And, you know, so it feels wrong to feel bad about a blessing. That was my truth. That was how I felt. It wasn't a good experience. It was very traumatizing. It was the most pain I ever experienced in my life. And it wasn't good. And I'm here to talk about it, because I've come to terms with it now. And I know that sharing definitely helps other women prepare, because the number one thing I hear whenever I talk to a new mom is, oh my gosh, why did anybody tell me? Why did anybody tell me that blah, 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 blah. Nobody talks about blah, 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 blah. That's you, like 9 times out of 10, I hear that statement come out of a new mom's mouth. And it's because it's so, you know, it's hard. Birth is hard. And, you know, it just seems like, oh, well, everybody's, you know, all women can just do it. So, you know, what's the big, like, no, it's hard. It's a lot. It's a lot. So this podcast is dedicated to women who are trying to conceive, currently pregnant, even men who are listening in and have women in their lives that are currently pregnant, or they're planning a life with them and they want a better understanding of what they're going through, because it's a lot. And I just say, before I even kick off into my birth stories, if you remember nothing of what I went through in my birth stories, please remember this. Every woman, while she's pregnant and after she delivers, deserves grace. Grace and patience. Just every woman does, because it's a lot. So my first birth with my son was a scheduled C-section. I had to have a scheduled C-section because it was medically necessary, since I was diagnosed with placenta previa. I basically was diagnosed shortly after, I was diagnosed on my seven month appointment. My ultrasound, they confirmed that I did have placenta previa, where basically it's a condition where your placenta, which is an organ that grows only when you're pregnant, but it's, you know, it's your placenta, and it implants in the very beginning parts of your pregnancy. It implants right over the cervix. So mine was 100% covering my cervix, and basically that meant that I can't push my baby out, vaginally like I was expecting. And I mean, when I say I was expecting it, like I was taking a natural birthing class. Like I was taking the Bradley method class. Like that's basically where you're trying to achieve an unmedicated natural vaginal birth. And I just had it in my mind that that was what's going to happen. So I had to prepare and I have to, be in the know. I, thought, oh, C-section's just, worst case scenario. Like, it can happen, but I was like, this is the type of birth I'm having. And so with placenta previa, you basically have to have a scheduled C-section prior to even getting to your due date. So about 2 weeks before your due date, when you're usually around like 38 to 39 weeks, they like to do the scheduled C-section to make sure you do not go into spontaneous labor, because any type of contraction can cause severe bleeding, and it can be fatal, but it's so avoidable that doctors know you just have to have a scheduled C-section and you can have a healthy baby. So nothing was physically wrong with me in terms of pain. It just was luck of the draw. That's where my placenta implanted. And so that was why I had to have a scheduled C-section. But that was devastating for me. At 5 months, they told me it was possible because they could kind of see the positioning of my, they could see the positioning of my placenta, and they said, let's just watch it and see where it lands. And by 7 months, they were able to confirm it. And I was absolutely devastated. My midwife, said one of the most kindest things I could hear in that moment. And she said, I completely understand why you're so emotional about it. It's because you have to mourn the birth you thought you were going to have. I couldn't explain how exact those words were, because that was precisely what was going on. It was like, I was like, just absolute shock and denial. Like literally like, what is it? The 12 steps of grief. Like I was just literally shocked, angry, mad, like trying to come to terms with it. Like, oh my gosh, like I'm a person who doesn't really like a lot of intervention. Like I said, I wanted a natural birth. I'm a person who's never had surgery. And now I'm faced with the fact that I must have this, incredibly invasive, difficult abdominal surgery, like the recovery and then taking care of a baby, and I'm a new mom. And it was just, stress to the max. But long story short, after I've said so much already, what was so traumatic about the actual delivery was that it took a really long time for my anesthesia to kick in the way that it should have for me to endure what was going on and to enjoy the process of what was going on. First off, I walked into the OR, which was so bizarre. I thought I would be in a wheelchair to go to the OR, but they walked me into the OR, so I had no idea where I was going. I didn't really know I was going into the OR at that moment. Like, I knew what I was there for, but I thought I was just going to another, like, check-in, register, place before the surgery. So I walk in, I see the bright lights and just a lot of white and, like, this metal slab, and immediately have a panic attack. Like, oh my gosh, it's happening. Like, it was a combination of, oh my gosh, I'm going to become a mom, it's happening, and oh my gosh, I'm going into surgery. So there's two things I'm fearing at the same time. And full-on panic attack, just bent over, hyperventilating, like crying, just couldn't catch my breath. And then, finally calmed down, and they gave me the anesthesia, which was a spinal block, which is basically an epidural that lasts for only 4 hours. Like, they basically numb you from the bottom down, but it only lasts for 4 hours, which is what they like to do for a scheduled surgery like that. They laid me down and they, did all these little tricks. Do you feel this? I'm touching you here. Can you feel that? Does that tickle? Is that hot? Is that cold? And I was just like, that feels hot. That feels cold. I can feel this. I can feel that. I still hadn't had the numbing sensation. And so this is maybe after like 15 minutes, so I go, well, let's sit you back up and, let's just give you the epidural, which is basically the same thing, but it allows you to, it's basically where you have a catheter in your spine. And so you can continue to press the medication to numb you if throughout the surgery you are still feeling pain. Well, thank God they did that, because that's exactly what happened. So not only did I get poked in my spine once, but I got poked in my spine twice. Lay back down, still took quite some time for them to start, but they basically, were waiting, and I said, oh my gosh, my chest feels so heavy. It feels like somebody's sitting on my chest. And they were like, okay, yep, that's it. And that they took that to mean that was the signal to go. I don't know why they made that correlation, because I did not say, oh, I'm totally numb, but that was the signal to go. So they just started, and I felt everything, every tug, pull, pinch. It felt like a saw or a drill. I could literally feel them opening me up. Oh my gosh. There was a moment where they kind of like pinched something that was like, I just screamed out loud from the top of my lungs. I was so tense. So typically a C-section lasts about an hour, and I was literally clenching my abdominal muscles. I don't know how that's possible. I was clenching my abdominal muscles literally the entire time. So I was physically exhausted by the end of it as well, to hold that much tension. And I could remember them. Delivery is very short for a C-section. If anybody, you know, has experienced it, like from opening you up to delivery is literally like 10 to 15 minutes or 10 to 12 minutes, they said. And so when they delivered my son, I felt like I was throwing up. Like my stomach just felt like it was like a pulsing, and they just they pushed him out and he came out and they're like, look, 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 look. And I had no energy by that. I was already just like, oh my God, like finally, like just, there was a little ounce of relief. And I just kind of glanced over at him and just was like, oh, okay. Like there was no moment. I didn't look into his eyes. I just saw a body and just was like, okay, whatever. Like, let's get this over with. Which was sad. Later on, it was just like, there was nothing magical about that moment. There was nothing special about it. It was just a dire pain. And my anesthesiologist was right next to me. She's like, can you describe what you're feeling? Like, she's trying so hard to work through it. She's pumping me with more and more and more and more and more medication until she got to the point where she finally said, you know, hey, like, we've got about maybe 10 to 15 minutes left. Can you just, you know, mentally just go to a place? I'm a little concerned that you will have some memory loss if I keep giving you more and more anesthesia. And so by that time I was just like, oh my, like it was just me and God. You know, I was staring up into these bright lights and it was just me and God, and I just mentally disappeared and just prayed. And funny enough, that is actually when my natural birthing class techniques came into handy, like just like that mental visual kind of distraction that you can do as a way to minimize pain. I just had to literally start visualizing clouds and positive thoughts just to forget about how much pain I was going through feeling this surgery. And then within like the last 10 minutes, I finally felt the medication kick in. And I was like, oh, this was how it was supposed to feel. And, you know, the anesthesiologist, you know, kind of chuckled, but was like, oh, like kind of relieved, like, thank God she got some relief, you know? And then I remember them, you know, finishing up and, you know, they were like, ooh, you know, we snatched you up. And I'm like, oh, do I look good? You know, by that point I was like loopy. I'm like, are my abs flat already? And they wheeled me over to recovery, and then it was time to be a mom. You know, they plopped him on my chest. They gave me one more medication, and like that felt really good going in. It was like, ooh, that really eased the pain. And then they plopped him on my chest and it was time to breastfeed. So it was like, I just went through and dealing with that to, okay, now be a mom. And then oh my gosh, getting rid of all of the drugs out of my system was awful. I had to take Benadryl just because I was itching so much. I mean, I threw up after I gave birth. I have very little memory of those first few hours after he was born. I don't remember how much they said he weighed. I didn't remember. I'd never heard what time he was born. Like, I didn't remember any of that until sometime later when I saw it, you know, in documents as I was getting checked out of the hospital. Like, oh wow, I did not change his first diaper. Like, there, I was incapacitated. I remember throwing up and it was so painful. It was gut-wrenching because, I mean, how do you throw up with your abdomen? You just had surgery. It's like it was terrible for all of those reasons. And then you get home and then there's that pain and then there's the shock and then the frustration of the breastfeeding and the stress of, you know, am I feeding him? Am I starving him? And other people, it was a lot, and it was a very, very bad traumatic experience. Although, you know, the two of us walked away healthy, I was always, always grateful for the fact that, you know, my doctor delivered my son, you know, and he was in good health, you know, never stayed a day in the NICU or anything like that. And I was fine, you know, but it still was not a good experience. And so I remember I was done having kids after that. I was good. It took me like 8 months to come back around to the idea of like, okay, maybe I could do it again. You know, this kid deserves a sibling. But then, you know, it still took me time to just get over that mentally. So that was my first birth, and I never thought that it was gonna feel like that. I remember it, you know, also being such a traumatic experience because I felt like a mother, right? But I didn't feel like I participated in his birth. I felt like he was removed from my body. And so that even kind of played on my mind just a little bit of like, just being involved, being present. Like I was there, but I had to literally mentally go somewhere else. I couldn't even, you know what I mean? So it was just, it was hard. It was a very, very difficult birth, but I made it through, and, you know, so much so that I, you know, said, let's do it again, got pregnant again, and was so excited to find out it was a girl. But of course, this pregnancy was harder than my first pregnancy. It was so much harder on me from, you know, just from like week one to like the very, very end. I mean, it was so much pain, fatigue, had a lot of sciatica pain. But again, I was determined to have what they call a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after a cesarean, which is very difficult to do in the state of New Jersey, it seems, because your doctor has to be okay with doing that. And a lot of doctors are not okay with delivering vaginally after you've had a cesarean. You have to find a doctor who will actually allow you to do it. Thankfully, the doctor who delivered my son was also very open and encouraging of a VBAC, since, you know, for all intents and purposes, I was a healthy, you know, pregnant woman, and there was no, you know, there was no terrible issues other than, you know, my placenta just happened to land in the wrong place, or an inconvenient place, I should say. And so, you know, I was on the like VBAC train. I hired a doula. She was actually the same exact teacher who was my Bradley method teacher. She's amazing. She was a Black woman. Oh, and shout out to my OBGYN, who was also a Black woman, which was really important to me. But yeah, I hired my doula, and I was like, I have one request, like, just keep me off the surgery table. That's it. I was like, I will do anything you ask of me. I will eat whatever. I will work out however. I will do whatever I have to do to stay off the surgery table, because I could not have another C-section again. It would just be too traumatic, because now I know how bad it could be. And so it's like, I just could imagine how bad the anxiety would be that time around. So the interesting thing I talked about a little bit on my Instagram was how I got a call from Keisha Epps, Omar Epps' wife, formerly of the group Total, and she needed her makeup done for his premiere of Raising Kanan. And I was like literally 8 days away from my due date, and I said yes. I was already on maternity leave. I said yes. And I was just so paranoid and so nervous the whole time, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, I hope my contractions don't start when I'm with her, you know. But then I'm kind of like, maybe you should take it so you can get things going, because by this time I was so over being pregnant. Like, I couldn't take it anymore. I was in so much pain. So I took her as a client. You know, my husband helped me out, you know, walked me, carried my bags and all that stuff to the room and got me all set up. And, you know, I killed the job. She loved it, loved working with her. She's such a sweet woman. And she sent me on my way with such blessings as well for my daughter. And, you know, the next day it was like a really hot day. And by this time, my husband was on paternity leave already. So I was like, let's go to the beach. Like, our son was at daycare. He's on paternity leave and I'm on maternity leave. And I'm like, yo, like, let's just go to the beach. Like, this is our time to get away before there were a family of four. And we could just kind of go and come back before his school lets out. So we go to the beach and, you know, we do our typical just laying out on the, you know, on the sand. But then I was like, let's get into the water. And for whatever reason, I really wanted to get into the water. Typically, Jersey water, I just like let my little pinky toe dip in and get it wet. But I wanted to get into the water. And I kind of was psychologically like, I hope all this physical activity gets my labor going. I was doing everything. Like, I didn't care at this point, like anything, just get me into labor. And so then I got swept away by the current, not swept away, but swept back towards the sand. Cove's like, all right, enough. Like, it's time to get out of the water. Like, you're doing the most. And sure enough, when I get back home, I started to feel some contractions. But I had been feeling contractions for like weeks prior. They just, nothing was consistent. So once I felt the contractions around 7 o'clock after we came back from the beach, I was like, ah, it's probably nothing. It's gonna go away like usual, whatever. And so by 11 o'clock, I had, my doula said, if you can take a shower, eat something and go to sleep and the contractions are still there, you're probably gonna be in labor. So I had taken a shower, I had ate something, I was still feeling them, and then I sat down to do my hair, and I was watching Space Jam, because that was the day it came out, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm still having these contractions, and they're kind of regular. Like, now that I was sitting still, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, let me time it, and they were like coming like every 10 minutes, sometimes every 13, sometimes there were some 9 minutes apart, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I think it's happening. Like, it was like that crescendo, like, because I had never been into labor before. Even though I was a mom, remember I had a scheduled C-section, I had never gone into labor. So I did not know what they would feel like. So I was like kind of stir crazy. I started cleaning and doing things, I don't know, but I didn't really fall asleep until 2 a.m. And by 6 a.m. I woke up to a contraction. I was like, okay, all right, I done did everything. I done ate, slept, you know, taking a shower, and it's still going down. Like, I'm in labor. Was like, yes, thank God. Like, I don't know who gets excited about contractions, but I was excited for every single one. I wanted them to come closer and closer and closer, because it just meant I am no longer going to be pregnant. Like, this baby girl's gonna be here, because I was so over it. But I ended up laboring all of that day because it kept starting and stopping. My contractions would get closer together, then they would get farther apart. As soon as I would lay down, they would go from being 9 or 10 minutes apart to 13, 15 minutes apart, you know? And you don't really need to call the doctor until you're about 5 minutes apart, you know, for at least an hour, you know, consistently for an hour. You know, so what is it? I think it's like 5-1-1, 5 minutes apart, lasting for an hour. And there's, I forget what the other one was for, what the other one stands for, but I felt like such a long way to go. You know, this is now Saturday. It started late Friday night, and this is now Saturday night. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. All right, it's been about 24 hours. I didn't think this was gonna happen, but I'm officially having prodromal labor. I can't keep them consistent. So I went to sleep again, could only get like 4 hours of sleep. By Sunday, it was all about Holy Ghost fire prayer. My sister was like, stop laying around. Like, if you feel like getting up, walking around, like, do that. I went for a mile walk. I had done that on Saturday as well, but I went for a mile walk on Sunday, you know, and I was like kind of dipping and squatting while I was walking. And that's when they started to get going. So my doula, you know, paid me a visit. She was like, all right, well, let's see how you're, you know, and she was, you know, doing her techniques and, you know, hitting some pressure points to keep things going and keep the intensity, because I was really struggling to keep them consistent. And then, you know, fast forward till about 6 p.m., I went for another walk, but this time she told me to walk on a curb, which would basically let me walk with my hips a bit in balance, like up and down, up and down. One foot's on the curb, one foot's on the street. And it helps your hips to just kind of descend. And that was what did the trick. I was finally in active labor. My contractions were about 5 minutes apart, sometimes 4 minutes apart. It was time to call the doctor. I did. We got back home around like 8:30 after like walking for like an hour and a half. And we, you know, my doula came back over and she was like, all right, well, let's do this cycle. And she had me walking upstairs and, you know, doing basically like yoga and like, you know, having contractions in this position and another position. And I didn't know it, because by this time she had, you know, she was the one timing the contraction. It wasn't me anymore. They were coming like every 2 minutes, 3 minutes, sometimes 1 minute apart. I didn't realize how fast they were coming, but they were really, really, really intense. And I was like, all right, I think it's time to go. So there was some hesitation for her. She was like, I don't know, maybe you might still need some more time. I just don't want to get you there and it be delayed. But I was almost about to throw up and she saw that and she was like, all right, let's load up the car and let's go. So we got in the car. By this time, I couldn't even sit down. I had to be in the passenger seat on my knees on the floor with my hands on the chair, on the passenger chair. I could not take a wheelchair. Once we got to the hospital, I could not take a wheelchair up to the labor delivery unit. I had to walk the whole entire way, took the elevator to the sixth floor. Like, I walked to the labor and delivery and they were like, all right, let's go. Let's get you checked in. I just need you to pee in a cup and we're gonna get you going. And I'm like, all right. So went into the bathroom and was ready to go and nothing could come out. And then all of a sudden I felt my stomach just push down. It was like I was throwing up, but instead of going up, it was like everything was going down. I was like, oh my gosh, my body is pushing. And I remember that from class, that when you don't have an epidural, your body does kind of do what it's supposed to do when it's ready to push. And she was like, all right, get up, you know, like, don't go push your baby into the toilet. It's time to get on the bed. Let's get the doctors in and let's go. And so I literally had to get admitted after I gave birth. Like, the doctor came in, she checked me. She was like, all right, you are 10 centimeters. And I let out this cry like no other, because I had already prepped myself saying, like, you're gonna get there and you're only gonna be 6 centimeters. Like, just chill out. Don't be disappointed. You still got some time to go. Like, don't worry. And so to hear 10 centimeters, like, you're ready to push, was like, oh my gosh, I did it. I am going to have this feedback. Like, oh my gosh. And so started pushing, which was absolutely confusing. Had no idea what I was doing. But by the fourth push, I was like, oh my, I started to feel the fatigue that my doula had warned me about. She's like, that was why I was telling you to rest, you know, because you can get very tired from pushing. By that fourth push, I was like, this is the last one. She is coming out. And she did. I pushed her out in 4 pushes. It was absolutely insane how close we got to me delivering, either at home or on the road. I don't know, but God was with us that day. And I delivered my baby girl unmedicated, got the VBAC that I wanted. She was healthy and happy. My tiny little baby, she was 5 pounds, 7 ounces. And I just let out this absolute cry for thanking my Lord God Savior. Just thank you, God. Thank you, God. God is so good. God is so good. I'll never forget just thanking God profusely after they put her on my chest. It was euphoric. I finally felt that magical moment that I never got to have with my first birth. I had it the second time around and it was incredible. And I feel like my healing process was 10 times better postpartum. Emotionally, I was so much better. I don't know if it's because I was more confident, as you know, because I'm a, you know, I was already a mom, but it was just such a better experience. And I'm thankful to my doula for being so encouraging and a part of the process. Obviously, I'm thankful to my husband, who was such a great support system, holding it down, just being as patient and as calm as possible, because I know he was nervous, but he was holding it together too. And you know, thankful to my OBGYN and her team for, you know, keeping me safe, keeping my child safe. And it was the best experience I could have asked for, you know, to just labor at home in the privacy of my home and to just literally show up to the hospital, start pushing and be done. It was amazing. So that is my birth story. I was so happy to share that because I hope that it's an encouragement to any woman who has had a cesarean and been sworn off by their doctors saying, you know, VBACs are dangerous, they're too hard, they're too difficult, don't jeopardize it. You know, speak with your medical provider, but it is possible, it can happen. But I wanted to share that to be an encouraging word to so many women, that you are stronger than you think. You know, labor contractions are bearable, you know what I mean? And, you know, taking a class is really, really beneficial. But I had such a great experience and I'm so grateful that, you know, I had night and day of an experience in comparison to before. So I wanted to share that with my audience, and I thank you so much for listening and tuning in after all this time. I'm going to be, you know, doing way more podcasts after this. Stay tuned. I'm going to talk about so much more motherhood, makeup, the whole nine. Like, you know what you're gonna get from me, business, everything. So thank you so much for tuning in. It's been such a blessing to share my story.